been a fun year for me. I've been here for 13 months now. And it's a transition that has gone pretty well. And as you know, moving to a new place, part of that transition is figuring out how to get from point A to point B. Remember the first time I got a call from someone who was in Tallahassee Memorial Hospital. It took me forever to find where that hospital was. It's on some pretty major roads, but you know, it's not fairly accessible, easily accessible for someone who was just learning the roads. But anyway, part of the difficulty for me the first couple weeks was trying to figure out how to get around. Learning the roads, learning the streets, you know what I'm talking about. All of you have been there. But you know, one of the joys that I have really enjoyed over the past 13 months has been listening my way around town. And what I mean by that is listening to what these roads mean, and what these neighborhoods mean, and what this land means. You all have been very gracious in being storytellers for me. Some of you didn't even know it. But I've enjoyed hearing about the stories of families who have been here forever. I know you can list off the top of your head five or six families who go generations back in this very land that we call Tallahassee. You know, that was a bit of a surprise for me. As a Florida State Seminole fan living in Dayton, Ohio, I thought of Tallahassee as the place where Doak Campbell was, and that was just about it. I kind of knew that there was a capital there somewhere. So coming into Tallahassee, my going-in impression was this was a land of politicians and students, of Democrats, Republicans, Seminoles, and Rattlers, and that was about it. And really, those are people who live here just part of the year. But Tallahassee, in my mind, going in, was a transient community. People come in and they live here when Congress is in session or when school is in session, and when all those things are done, they go home to their real homes. That's not the way it is here in Tallahassee, right? You all have been very gracious in telling me that. Because we have Stoudemires here. We have McCoys here. We have families here who have been here for generations, almost since the founding of Florida itself. And what a travesty it would be if an outsider to Tallahassee, a visitor, would believe that Tallahassee is full of people who are simply here part of the year, that there are no full-time residents. Because what an offense that would be to families who have called this home for centuries. Think about the church. What an offense it would be if a visitor, an outsider, would come into this place and say, this place called the church is full of only part-timers. They only care about their spiritual lives 1/7 of their life on Sunday. And then Monday through Saturday, they live their other lives. What a sad thing it would be if people would look at this church and say, you know, these are people who don't have a full-time commitment to being here. They come here, they put on their spiritual facade, they put on their spiritual lives, but then, when session is out, they'll go back to living the way they really live. I think the scripture is pretty clear this morning that for any church to be healthy, for any church to truly have God's presence within it, it has to be full of people who call the spiritual life home 24 hours a day, all throughout the year. Because without it, if people are only here part-time, concerned about the church when they have to be, then we do a disservice to the generations who have gone before us, and to the generations who will come after us. For God is truly in this place through the full-time commitment and attention of the people who are here. God's word comes to us from Genesis chapter 28 this morning. It's a really beautiful story. A story about how Jacob was out in the outdoors, the wilderness, one day, and he decided to take a nap. He used a stone for a pillow. Doesn't sound too comfortable to me. But he fell asleep, and he had a deep sleep. And during that sleep, he had an incredible dream given to him by God, a dream where there was a ladder present connecting the earth to the heavens. In his dream, there was a connection made between the heavenlies and the earthlies, and there were angels going up and down that place. And God spoke to him about Abraham and the covenant that God had made with this great family that Jacob was a part of. And Jacob woke up from his sleep and said an amazing thing. He said, "Surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't even know it. And I didn't even know it." I wonder how many times in our weeks we fail to recognize just how present God is in our lives. It's too easy to go through the chaos and darkness of Monday through Friday and forget that we are truly not alone in what we're doing. That every place we walk, because there is the presence of Christ within us, we become a ladder connecting the earthlies to the heavenlies. We become that conduit through which God touches the earth. We become that home that God dwells in. The scripture calls it a temple. Paul says we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Yet how often do we fail to realize, because of our own busyness, because of our problems, that God is in this place where we stand, no matter where we are. Jacob realized it. He realized it even though he didn't even know it. God was in the place where he stood. What place do you like to go to experience God? For some of you, there's a nice place outdoors by a lake or under the shade of a tree where you can go and know that God is truly with you. Many of you, I'm sure, are like me. The place where I experience God is in the car, because I tend to spend most of my time in that car throughout the week. But that's the place where I'm focused, where God, I think, truly does speak to me. Some of you have a place in your house. Some of you come here and know that God is in this place. But let this passage remind you that God is with you wherever you go. You need to pay attention to that, because you are the temple, the dwelling place of the Most High. Let's get back to this story for a minute, because it's got an interesting little twist at the end. Jacob realizes that God is in this place where he had just woken up and gotten this vision, and he decides to call this place an interesting name, a name that is pretty relevant to who we are. He says that this is an incredible place. It's the house of God. That's what I'll start calling it. Surely it was called Luz before, probably a Canaanite name or an Ugaritic name, but now this is where God is, and I'm going to change the name of this place. And you know what the name was that he changed it to? He changed it to Bethel, a name that means house of God. And that would be a place that would connect future generations to the width and breadth of God's love and to the family that God had put together. Because it's in that very place called Bethel that Abraham had erected an altar generations before to thank God for God's blessings upon him. And it was in that very place called Bethel that generations from then, the Ark of the Covenant would sit during the period of the Judges. That Ark of the Covenant that was the throne seat of God, that had the Ten Commandments and the manna in it. Bethel would be that special place that generations could go to see the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God. Even centuries after, when the entire country would go to spiritual and moral decay, do you know where the reform started within that country? It started in that place called Bethel, under a king named Josiah. Bethel would forever be a place not only where God would be present, but people could come to realize that they were connected to a family that was much bigger than themselves. And what an awesome vision for us this morning, church, that this place called the house of God, this place called Bethel, could be a place where we could be connected to families who have been in this church and have been in the church for generations. That in this place we could know that we are connected to the people who founded this church. That we could be connected to John Wesley and his followers. That we could be connected to the Apostle Paul and the early church planters. That we could be connected to those disciples who worked miracles after Jesus' death. That we could even be connected to Christ himself, because it was Christ that formed this church. You want to know the presence of God in your life? Know that you're part of a bigger community than yourselves. Know that you're never alone in your life. And know that you yourself are a spiritual ladder that connects the heavenlies to the earthlies because you have Christ within you. And know that because God is using you, you can reach out to other people and touch them with the presence of God. A couple moments, we're going to come to the altar together and celebrate communion. And it is an altogether fitting image ritual that we go through. As we come together and affirm what kind of community we are, an inclusive community. And we come to this table because God invites us to this table. And by coming to this table, we join with the thousands of people, the saints who have gone before us and the saints who come after us, even in this moment. If in the past week you have forgotten this, let communion be your reminder that God is with you. The breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup and the joining together of your family. Don't ever let this basic truth leave your minds. God is with you. Let that be your hope. Let that be your salvation. And know that surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts.